There's lots of changes that have taken place, that are taking place in our country. It's maybe quite unsettling, should be, and is. I don't really want to talk about those things, but when I came into the service, it was a little late. We were singing, "Be Still My Soul." And just want to read this first line. "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend." I want to do a little bit of reading in 1 Samuel chapter 15. But if I have a text, it would be Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, which says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Lord, bless us a little while this evening. I'd like to try to touch on the subject of peer pressure and how to stand against it and not submit unto it. When I talk about peer pressure, I'm talking about being pressured in to do the things that are wrong. There can be positive pressures. People can influence you for good, but that's not what my aim is today. We have a lot going against us in this good country in which we live today. But I'd like to look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 because I want to just talk about a man. King Saul was the first king of Israel. He reigned about 40 years. And quite ironic, the way that this king came about is the nation of Israel came to Samuel and said, "Give us a king so we can be like the other nations," wanting to conform and be like everybody else. And there's a lot of people in this world who would like for us to just conform and go with the flow and come on to their agenda, which that's bad when it's not the Lord's agenda. All right? So here Saul was given a task as a servant of God. God says, "You want a king? I'll give you a king." And he gave Saul, the son of Cis, stood head and shoulders above the rest of the people. He was a mighty man. So God, and he was God's man. God had him anointed. He was there as a servant of God over the nation Israel. And God had a job for him to do. And he said, "Go kill all the Amalekites and utterly destroy everything they've got." Well, he ended up didn't do it because of peer pressure. All the people didn't want to spare all the best of the sheep and oxen. By the way, they had, you know, the Israelites had to sacrifice those morning and evening. And why waste some good livestock over here when I don't have to use my own? Little covetousness going on there, I think. What a waste. Well, it wasn't a waste because God said do it. Well, we find out that he didn't do it. Saul did not obey God. And we want to get down. We want to see how he fell. And I don't want to spend too much time to this, but you'll find in 1 Samuel chapter 15 where God tells him. I'm just going to pick and choose some verses here. Hopefully you're familiar with this account of history. Okay? He said, "Go kill all the Amalekites." Verse 3, "Go now smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and he went out, came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Came out. Well, what happened was they spared Agag, the king, and the best of the sheep and oxen. And so Samuel comes along later and Saul says, I'm just paraphrasing because I get going on this. Saul said, I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord. And Saul says, What meaneth then this, verse 14, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? If you've killed all the livestock of the Amalekites, I shouldn't be hearing them. They're alive. What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep? You really did that? You really performed the commandment of the Lord? And Saul said, verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And I always get tickled when I read that. Because he says, you know, they spared Agag, and they say, but we destroyed. You know, when he got to the destroying part, doing what they're supposed to do, it included himself. But as always, they did this. And he goes on down. It's kind of like, you know, passing the blame, kind of like in the garden, you know. Adam, did you eat of that fruit that I gave? Well, this woman, she gave me. Well, what about it, woman? Well, the serpent. You know, we all want to pass the blame along. But anyway, Samuel said and continued to talk. And basically, he said, the Lord has set you as the king of Israel, anointed the king, verse 17. Verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way that the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Israel, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, he's still talking about the people, but the people took of the spoil, sheep, oxen, chief things, etc., etc., which should have been destroyed. Well, he finally gets down to confession time. And we learn why he failed to do what God had clearly said and told him to do. You'll find that. Verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. There it is. It's finally confession time. I've sinned. You know, why didn't you do this? First he was saying, I did it. No, he didn't do it. I've sinned, I didn't do it, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. There we have a problem presented to us. The fear of man, it brings a snare. And there is not a man, boy, woman, girl in this audience that cannot fall prey to this fear. To this fear. And that's what peer pressure is. You're not going to find peer pressure, that phrase in the Bible. But it's a fear. So what is it? My definition is, it's a fear of the resulting consequences of not being conformed to the wishes, desires, and expectations of those around us. It's not just being afraid of people. You can see some mass murderer on the news, you know, 10 o'clock news. It's in behind bars, and he made it look like a big monster, mean fella, and you're not scared. Right? It's not just the idea of man, but if you met him at 3 o'clock in a back alley somewhere and he's coming after you, you'd be a little scared. Why? What's the difference? Because you're afraid of what he might do to you. That's what we're afraid of. What will the consequences be if I choose this way? Saul had an opportunity to choose the Lord's way or choose the people's way that wanted him to go their way. What did he do? Because of fear. He was afraid, what are they going to say? What are they going to maybe not say? You know, we're worried about what people are going to say. What are they going to do? They may string me up. I don't know. I mean, you know, you start getting going against the people. I don't know what's going to happen to me, and we're scared of what's going to happen to me. We're afraid, and we can be snared by fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It's like you're caught, you're trapped when you're afraid. And it can happen to every one of us. Let's look at a New Testament example. First, let me show you a good thing. A good example. Go to Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. You remember the Peter and the apostles? You know, they were threatened not to preach or teach anymore in his name. They said, well, what did they say? Verse 18, 4:18. They called and commanded them not to speak or teach, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, now here's the authority saying, you better not preach that anymore. All right? And the United States, you know, we're living in a country today where in some places, in some churches, you better not preach certain things. All right? Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What did they do? They said, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot speak the thing, but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Okay, that's pretty good. We ought to obey God rather than men. It makes you feel real good. I hope I'd be right there, right? I mean, you know, we ought to preach what God's Word says, even if it's not popular. All right? So they did that. Well, they kept preaching and got them in trouble. They finally got beaten and let go. Listen to what he said. But listen, when they were called on the carpet again, 5:28-27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen.
That's right.
Ought to obey God rather than men. He's really bold, isn't he? Yeah. I hope we could be so bold. I hope we could stand. Say, we ought to obey God rather than men. Even though men may say this, God's Word says this. What happened? We ought to obey God rather than men. Well, finally, it says in verse 40, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They got beaten for being faithful to God. They could have been thinking, okay, what if we don't submit? Oh, see, there are consequences for being obedient to God. Here they got beat. All right? They may have known, well, what's going to happen to us? They may beat us. They may throw us in jail. They may kill us. I don't know. Are they willing? These men were willing to suffer any consequences for their obedience. Okay? They were willing. That's one of the first things. If we're going to overcome fear of man, which brings a snare and snares us and takes us and captures us, we have to have a commitment to do right, first of all, right? I mean, you know, if we're not even committed, so, no, just whatever. I mean, no, you got to have a commitment to the Lord. But you also, they had one other thing. After they were beating them, let them go, what did they do? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Are you willing to suffer shame for His name? We gotta be. I could say it this way. Am I willing to suffer whatever the consequence that man would bring against me for being obedient to God? And see, we're gonna get to the remedy in a minute. Because it's really great. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I want to tell you, I'll talk a little bit to you about that trust. What does that mean? Well, let's continue on this example. Here, they stood strong against this fear. Authorities come say, you can't preach this or that. What are we going to do? We ought to preach it. Yeah, we stand real bold, right? You know, I mean, whatever the subject may be. Let me give you another example of Peter, though. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. He was in a situation where he didn't make out quite so well. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 11, the Apostle Paul is writing of an experience he had with Peter. And this is Peter who was in Joppa, and the Lord taught him a great lesson by letting down that great sheet with all manner of unclean things. Arise, Peter, slay, kill, and eat. Not so, Lord, nothing unclean has ever touched my mouth. You know, he was getting him ready to go preach to those Gentiles. And he learned, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. It's okay. Those are good brethren. Those Gentiles were good brethren. Nothing wrong with those brethren. And he preached to them and baptized. But Paul is going to relate something here. Verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. You're going to have to study this next sentence because it kind of... It says, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But after they were come, he separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now, it's kind of got a funny construction on it, but he says, before that certain, that is certain people came from Jerusalem, called the circumcision, the Jews, who wasn't going to look very highly upon Peter for fellowship in these old Gentiles. Right? So Peter sees them coming. I'm rubbing elbows with the wrong brethren. They ain't going to like it that I'm down here. Well, he stood so strong against the authorities, didn't he? But peer pressure is called peer pressure because underlying peer. Now this isn't just some authority. These are some of his brethren, his peers that he loves, his brethren that are close to him. And he knows they're not going to like it that he's here. Oh, now that, yeah, I'll tell the authorities, you know, I'm going to preach God's word. I'll obey God rather than men. But I get down here with some of my brethren and I might get a little weak-kneed. Because now I'm really with my peers. What are they going to think about me? Am I going to be ostracized of my brethren? What are they going to say about me? Are they going to sell me down the river? Are they going to put out word on me? Stay away from him. He was down there with those Gentiles. Well, that's where we live. It's got harder when it's your close peers. What's your brother or sister going to think? Are you going to stand faithful to God? He says, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And there was nothing wrong with these Gentile brethren, okay? I mean, if men or people are unsound, stay away from them. But there's nothing wrong with these, okay? But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Those zealous Jews. And look what the effect it had. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Well, here's an apostle. He's getting out of the country. I mean, he's going to separate. We better go with Peter. You never know what kind of effect you're going to have. Whether we weasel out through fear or whether we stay strong. That can have a great effect. On people maybe weaker. Well, he's staying. There's nothing wrong. Everything's good. I feel the pressure. But, oh, Peter's staying. I'm going to stay with him. That's not what happened here. It says the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas, Paul's companion, even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. Oh, Barnabas. I mean, you know, Peter left, everybody else left, and Barnabas is sitting there. Oh, I'm going to go too. I mean, He says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Anyway, we see that example. It's harder when it's here. Somebody that's close. So the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, we're told in God's Word. So again, peer pressure is a fear. What are they going to say about me? What are they going to think about me? What's going to happen to me? And we focus on the fear of the consequence. We're focusing on what the consequence is. And when we do that, we're snared and taken. Rather than trusting in the Lord, that I'm just going to do right and I'm going to let the Lord take care of it all. Right. But God tells us not to fear. Many places. Fear not them which are able to kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. A lot of other places. You know when God called His preachers? Oh, actually, I'm not going to turn there for sake of time. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, about verse 17, when He's making judges over Israel. He said, when you go to judge matters, He says, don't fear man. Don't be afraid of them. Judge righteous judgment. When He called Jeremiah and said, before I formed thee in the womb, I ordained thee and sanctified thee a prophet unto the nations. He said, oh, Lord, I cannot speak, but I'm a child. He said, no, you're going to go and speak all the words that I speak unto you. And He says, be not afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of them. And He said the same thing, Ezekiel chapter 2, He said the same thing to Ezekiel. Let me just turn a couple of places here. I want to read, actually, rather than just tell you what it said. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. All right? See, don't... All right, I said to go a couple places. Let's go to Ezekiel also. Ezekiel chapter 2. It says it a little bit different, but the same message. Verse 3, 2, 3 says, he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. They are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. You're going to preach my word. You're going to tell them. You're my mouthpiece. You're going to speak my words. You're going to speak it to them. And whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. What are they going to say? Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Doesn't matter how they look at you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're looking to see what time it is. I appreciate the smiles. But preach the word. And there's a need for judges to be reminded, don't fear man. Why? Because not everybody's going to like their judgment. And you're not there to be a judge. You're God's man there, put in a position to judge righteous judgment. And these preachers, why Jeremiah, why Ezekiel, says you're going to preach my word, and guess what? Don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be dismayed, for I am with thee to deliver thee. God's going to be with you. You know, not everything that these preachers have to preach is all fun and exciting for them. Oh, there's sometimes... You say, I don't want to preach this because it's not uplifting. Everybody wants to be on a mountaintop. But there's some things that are, step on my toes and get across my shins and, it happens to the preacher too. But if he's faithful, what God's burdened him with, that's what kind of men you want. Okay? Close your ears, preachers. For your pastors, pray that God would give them messages that you need. And pray that God would give them the boldness and utterance to be faithful to God, not you.
Right.
All right? Faithful to God.
Right.
I don't mean that sound bad. They're for you, all right? But I remember Jeremiah on one occasion, I can't tell you where it is, he was telling God, he says, I have not ceased to be a pastor unto thee or for thee. In other words, we're there for the people because God's put us there. And we're trying to please God in all things. And that's what everybody ought to be doing, right? Whether you're a judge or a preacher or whatever it is, trying to please the Lord and not men, all right? Not even supposed to be pleasing himself, not pleasing the congregation, pleasing God, all right? So anyway, so Jeremiah was prone to fear man. That's why God said, don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. Ezekiel was the same way. Fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, Solomon was one of the wisest men. Wisest other than the Lord Jesus Christ in Proverbs. It's full of wisdom, right? You know what the first main topic that he deals with in Proverbs after his introductory? With peer pressure. Let's turn a look. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Here he's saying, don't consent. You know, there's we could stack verses that says, don't be afraid. And don't be afraid. You can go to Isaiah chapter 51, verse 7, I believe it is, where he tells us not to be afraid. Let me see if I can pull that, if that's right. 51, 7. Where he's telling us not to be afraid of the, not just be afraid, not be afraid of men, but don't be afraid of the consequences. Where did I say Isaiah? What? Okay, see, I can't even go to 51. Is that right? Yes. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. See, it's one thing to be afraid of people, I mean, you know, and what they'll do, but he's being specific. He says, don't be afraid of their revilings. Don't be afraid, similar, don't be afraid of their faces, you know, of their looks, what they say. Don't be afraid of their the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. So don't be afraid of them. All right, but so we're told not to be afraid of those things, which snares us when we are, but he also tells us, don't consent. When people's trying to get you to go the wrong way, don't go with them. And that's what we're covering here in Proverbs 1. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a hole and as the grave and whole as those that go down in the pit. We shall find all precious substance. It's going to be so fun. Come on, cast in thy lot with us. We shall all have one purse. Come on in. What does he say? My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. He says, if sinners entice you, if they're trying to get you to go in the wrong way, don't consent. All right? Now, so we have, you know, it says, don't be afraid. Don't consent when they're trying to get you going the wrong way. They're trying to persuade you. You need to go this way, and you know this is the right way. Well, you know, you can see the commandment. But how in the world do you do it? How do you do it? How can you not be afraid? You know there's consequences to obedience. If you do what God said do, the world's not going to smile at you. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's some going to come. You're going to have to suffer some shame in His name. Well, how can you do it? Well, the answer is trust in the Lord. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You'll be secure. You're not going to be snared by the fear of man. Just trust in the Lord. Okay? Well, that's real easy to say. What does that mean? Okay, the remedy is trusting in the Lord. I don't know that I'm really helped yet. I mean, you know, trust what? Well, you got to know some things about God if you're going to trust Him. How many of you would take your children or grandchildren down here in the street and stop the first car and says, here's my children, bring them back in an hour? You say, Brother Bench, what are you talking about? Of course I wouldn't do that. Why wouldn't you trust them? You don't know anything about them. We know what? We know a lot about God. We can trust God. We can trust God. Because He has all power in heaven and earth. He works all things out of the counsel of His own will. He does His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stand to Him. What doest thou? He holds our soul in life. Suffereth not our feet to be moved. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he says, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. We have God who has all power in heaven and earth, who's on your side. It says in Psalms 56, verse 3, David says, what time I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in thee. You know, there's a scripture over in Romans chapter 12. It says, be not conformed this world. We could be conformed by the pressure to do so, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to trust God, you know what you got to be thinking? We need to renew our mind in some truths about God that I can trust Him. And what I'm trusting Him with, when I get in a situation, you get in a situation where, you know, here's two roads. We ought to obey God, and we feel, what are they going to say if we don't? What if we're going to, you know, we're afraid of the consequences of our being obedient to God. What are those consequences? I don't know what it's going to be, and it scares me. What we ought to be trusting God for, who has all power in heaven and earth, who's on my side. Oh, it says over in Psalms 118, verse 6, he says, God is on my side, I will not fear. You see, you got God on your side. I mean, come on. You're on the winning side. And what we're doing is when we fear the consequences of our obedience, what we need to do is we need to realize we need to trust God that He's going to handle all the consequences. That's the key. I'm not going to worry about being thrown in jail. I told the apostles, we're going to beat you. Well, we ought to obey God rather than you do whatever. I'm not going to be afraid of the consequences because my God is bigger than you are. And God, you say, well, you know what? You might end up in a Philippian jail sometime. Like Paul and Silas. That's right. Are you willing to go there? Are we willing to suffer shame for His name? Are we willing to bear the consequences of being obedient to God? See, that's what I said before. We have to have a commitment to God. I've got to be willing. Am I really on board with this Christianity thing? In trying to follow the Lord? Is it all words? Am I really committed? I've really laid down my life. I don't know how the Lord's going to take me out of here, but I know where I'm headed. I have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. I don't know. Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be of the Lord, which is much better. Nevertheless, it's more needful that I abide here. God wasn't done with him yet. And when God gets done with us, he'll no longer hold our soul in life, and we're going to go be with Him forever and ever and ever. And this little time dot on a timeline of eternity we call living, the little dot of this world, it's like a little vapor, it's here. We're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Need to look up. Lay aside the weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. I don't know what God would have in store for me. But I know He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? Because the Lord's my helper. He's my strength. I'm going to tell you what I say before. When God's on your side, you're on the right side. Last chapter of 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul. Let me turn over there. Verse 14 says, well, he talks about how he's run a race, fought a good fight. Time of his departure is now at hand. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He goes on down, verse 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Goes on down, and verse 14 says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom thou be ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You ever been in a position? You may be in a position where you're all alone. You're all alone. I remember when I first went to college many years ago and went to the dorm that I was staying in, and I didn't know who my roommates were, and there was a couple of kids. My roommate was from Hereford, Texas, and he had a couple of his buddies down the hall, and we unloaded everything and went in and got our stuff situated, and they were all in our room, and they said, well, let's go on down to the Cowboys or whatever the bar was. And I said, no, I'm no thank you. I said, I don't drink. And they said, they kind of looked at me, and then they grinned, and they looked at each other and said, well, you don't yet. See, they had big plans for me. But you may find when you're all alone, what are you going to do? Trust in the Lord. That He's going to handle it. I don't know. And I'll give you a little hint, you youngsters. If you especially, and when I say you youngsters, I'm talking to everybody here because you're just a grown-up youngster, right? You're the same person you were when you was a little kid. I don't care how old you are. You think the same way. You're you, and you look in the mirror and say, "Well, what's that old person doing there?" You know. I mean, well, maybe some of you don't, but. You know, we basically have the same fears that we've always had in a lot of ways. And this will stay with us till we die. And what I was going to tell you, is if you will, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of where you could be afraid, let me give you that example of when I was in college. And I could have said, well, no, I don't really feel like going with y'all today. Or I could have given some lame excuse. Okay? But you know what happened to me? If people see that you're weak, they will keep coming after you. But because I said, you know, I don't drink. And I wasn't confrontational. I just said, I just don't do that. I don't care. Thanks for offering, but I don't do it. Well, they only asked me like one more time. And I said, no, I don't. Don't you remember what I said? I told you I don't drink. Oh, I guess he's serious. They don't bug you anymore. And they'll have a lot more respect of you than what you think. They'll think a lot more of you than if they see you a little weak and sniveling and giving excuses, because they know what weakness is. And we actually have a biblical example that, Lord willing, we'll get to real quick. All right? But what I want you to... I run out of time. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. All right, here, I want you, real quickly, all right? Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That means if I start being a man pleaser. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? So if I start fearing men, here's what I want you to get, 3 points. A man-fearer will become a man-pleaser, and a man-pleaser will become the servant of men. It starts with the fear. I'll start obeying them, right? But we ought to not be afraid of the consequences of our obedience, all right? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. To always be with us and to help us. And we may be in the Philippian jail someday. Are we willing to go? We got to be willing to go. I don't know, but you know, Paul and Silas, they're down there singing songs, praying, and everything's all right because the same God that they served that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, the same God that suffered them to be in that place can get them out anytime he wants. Well, Lord, I don't know why you want me in this jail, but that's all right. I was doing right. It's okay. I don't know what your agenda is. You know what? The Lord is leading us down the journey of our life, and it's really exciting when you kind of finally realize that, because you don't know what the next step is going to be. Lord, it may be in a flipping jail. May not be. I don't know. But are we willing to suffer shame for His name? Let's look at one example. I've got to close. I'm sorry I've gone too long, Brother Ivy. Let's start to Daniel chapter 3, tie this up. Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they do? They were servants of the Most High God, were they not? They had a commitment to serve God. You got to have that, right? Well, they had that. Nebuchadnezzar says, you know, what time you hear this, all this manner of music, if you'll fall down and worship, everything will be, you know, if you don't, you're going to be put in a fiery, burning fiery furnace. And, well, they had this big image, and at the sound of all that music, everybody's bound down, and it got reported to the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't doing it. And he kind of stopped everything, brought them up to him. And we begin reading in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Thou, first commandment, thou shalt have none other gods before me, and the second, not have any images, you know. I mean, God, they knew what God said, do. So they didn't bow down and worship this image. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach? Did you not do this? Are you not bound down? Nebuchadnezzar spake. He says, verse 15, Now if ye be ready, that at what time... See, he's giving them a second chance. I mean, I'm sure all eyes are on them. I mean, probably the processions or whatever stopped. He, in his rage, hears all these men before the king. No doubt everybody in the place is watching this. And he says, Is it true you're not going to fall down and worship this image? Now, if you be ready, he's going to give them one more chance. Well, what do you think the pressure was then? Every eye's on them. And he says, Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, and all these instruments, if you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, everything will be fine. But if not, here's the consequences for their obedience to God. What is it? What's the consequence? But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Oh. Okay, here's the consequence. So here, they looked, okay. You know, they could have said, you know, let's huddle up. Maybe we went too far this time. On this serving the Lord business. No. No. They had a commitment. And they trusted in God to deliver them from whatever consequence man wants to throw at them. Even a burning fiery furnace. You see how they didn't focus? If they started focusing on the fire, I'm going to burn. Ah! Snared and taken. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord is going to be safe. Were they safe?
Yes.
They trusted in the Lord. And look what they did. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Do you know what that word careful means? In the New Testament it says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. He said, you know, they're like, they're cool, calm, and collected. They're saying, and they're not cocky, okay. No, they're just saying, you know, we're not anxious about this thing. Because you're just man, and God is God. You're really way down here. And God has all power in heaven and earth. Yeah. Who is that God? The God that we serve, He's able to deliver us. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. It's no big deal with God. Don't know what His agenda is for us. We may be going home to be with the Lord real soon. If it be so, our God whom we serve, He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They weren't snared by the fear of the consequences of being obedient to God, but rather trusted in God who promised to never leave them nor forsake them, that had all power in heaven and earth that's on their side. And they just trusted God. I don't know, maybe go in the furnace. And they did go in the furnace. And God was there. God was there. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Because I'm your God. You're my children. I'm going to take care of you. The Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. What time I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in Him. He's for me. Back over there with Paul. He says, my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. He says, yet the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord was there upholding him when he was all alone. These three are all alone in a strange land of Babylon. What are you going to do? We're not anxious about this thing. Because we're not fearful of the consequences, because you can't bring anything on us that's bigger than our God can take care of. We're trusting God. We're just going to be faithful to God. See, we need to be focused not on the fear, not on the consequences of obedience. We just need to be focused on being obedient. And let the consequences to God. There's a freedom there. God says, vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord, I'll repay. We don't have any business in vengeance. That's His. Well, you know what? Consequences for obedience are His too. I don't need to worry about them. I don't need to focus on them because God's promised to take care of me through them. When I walk through the fire, thou shalt not be... Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Isaiah 43 verse 2. They walked through the fire and they weren't burned, were they? Because the Lord was there. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I'm sorry I took so much time.